All right, so we're holding on hoof test evolve on the days at the middle of the narrow line by the two dots. The Mishnah said, actually, hook on Mishkan. Before the Mishkan was set up, we said that Korbanos could be brought anywhere, and the Avodah could be, and the Avodah was done by the Bechor. So Gemara says, whereas after the Mishkan was built, then you could only bring Korbanos in the Mishkan and only pray. So Gemara says, Yosef Rav Huna Bakhtina Kameh Rachista. Rav Huna, or Rav Chana, says on the side over here, Bakhtina is sitting in front of Rav Chista, the Kokori, and he was reading a pasuk as follows. Rashi explained that it was Rav Chista was reading the pasuk, so and Rav Huna or Rav Chana Bar Chana is sitting there and listening. Tosfos says that maybe what it means is that Rav Huna or Rav Chana is the one reading the pasuk. Anyway, he's reading the pasuk from the end of Parashat, from near the end of Parashat Mishpatim, what happened a couple of days before Matan Torah. By Yishlachas Narei B'nei Yisrael, it says that Moshe sent the young men of B'nei Yisrael, and they brought oilers. Omalei, so he says to him, Hoki Omer Rav Ashi, Kovu Upofti. This is what Rav Ashi said. They brought Korbanos, and then they stopped. Meaning that was the last time that the Chorim are bringing Korbanos. That's one explanation, Rashi says. The second explanation is that afterwards came Matan Torah, and then they're given the mitzvahs, including the mitzvahs that they were supposed to be carrying in, bringing the Korbanos. So then from then on, Nadav and Abihu served throughout that whole year until the Mishkan was set up, and then they died on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and then from then on with all the other carrying. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi says another explanation without the word Korbu, Hochi Omer Rav Ashi Upaste. Rav Ashi said, you should know, you have to break the pasuk at this point, Nare B'nei Yisrael. Meaning, the way we have the pasuk, when we look in a Chumash with the truck, that the truck go like this, Vayishlach Nare B'nei Yisrael, Vayalu Eloi, and then the rest of the pasuk, Vayishlach Vakam Shlomim Lashem Pasuk. So therefore, it means he sent the Nare B'nei Yisrael, and they're the ones who offered the Eloi, the Nare B'nei Yisrael being the Bechorim. So according to the second explanation of Rashi, what he's saying is that Rav Ashi said that's not how the truck should go in the pasuk. The truck should actually go Vayishlach et Narei B'nei Yisrael with an asnafta on Yisrael, and then Vayalu Oilos and the rest of the pasuk. It would have to be something like Vayishlach et Narei B'nei Yisrael, period. He sent the Narei B'nei Yisrael. They're not the ones who brought the korban. They're the ones who were standing there as representatives of the Jewish people while the Kohanim are bringing the korban. Vayalu Oilos and the rest of the pasuk would refer not to the Narei B'nei Yisrael, the way we have the truck, but rather it would be referring to others, meaning the Kohanim, are the ones being matched with the actual Korbanos, and the Narei B'nei Yisrael are there only as spectators to represent the Jewish people. Sort of like an Amadis in later times. So that's Rashi's second trap. Rashi actually brings a third explanation, Upaskuhu, means that Rav Ashi wanted to explain it the way you just explained it, that the Bechorim were bringing the Korbanos on the day before Matan Torah, Upaskuhu, but the Chachamim prevented him from saying that, and they said that it meant that it didn't mean that the Bechorim were bringing it, it meant that the Korbanos were bringing it. Upaskuhu means that they stopped him, Right. So that's we have three different explanations. Kovu, Pasku, that it means they brought Korbanos that day, but then that was it, never again. Or Paske, that actually you have to break the process at the word Yisrael, and not in Yisrael. Or Upaskuhu, Rav Ashi tried to explain it the way you're saying it, and they stopped him and said that's not the correct explanation. Okay, well, once he pointed that out, Sovereign was still being Rasmussen. So he thought to slug him up from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah clearly says that until the Mishkan was built, until the Mishkan was set up, that Avodah was done by the Bechorim. So what are you telling me that over here, this is the last time the Bechorim did the Avodah, from Matan Torah until the Mishkan is set up, is about 10 months? Or what do you mean that you could break the pasuk there and the Bechorim didn't even do it then, if this is long before the Mishkan is set up? So he thought to slug him up from our Mishnah. Then Rav Chista heard Rav Chana, or Rav Chana heard Rav Chista, heard him saying a further thing. The Ka'ama Mishmeder of Adaba Abba, we're holding in the middle of the book above on the day. The Ka'ama Mishmeder of Adaba Abba, that he said a further thing in the name of Rav Adaba Abba. You should know, he said, Oila Sheikh Yisrael Ba'Midbar. This Oila that the Jewish people brought in the Midbar, this one that they brought before Matan Torah, this one of which we're saying, Vayishlachas Na'areh B'nei Yisrael, Eina Ta'una Hefshet B'Nituach. And he was saying that you should know, besides the fact that he was saying that it was brought by the Bechorin, because he understands the process to be saying that the Nare Bnei Yisrael brought it, there was also a difference between it and Olus of future times in that it didn't require Heshet Benitruach. They didn't have to strip off the skin and cut it into pieces, as you usually do with an Ola. They just took the whole thing and burnt it whole on the Mizbeach. So once he heard that, he said, you know what, never mind schlugging his first statement up from the Mishnah. Actually, I have a braisa that I can use to schlug up all these statements of his, both about the Bechorin and about the Heshet Benitruach. So he says, so he asked him, so he tries to schlug him up on the basis of a braisa, the Shavi Bechulu, a braisa that mentions all these details and contradicts him, namely both about the Bechorin and about the Heshet Benitruach. Because the braisa says, the time in this time, actually, Hukama Mishkan, before the Mishkan was set up, Habomus Mutaris, Bomus Amutar, fine, now we had an Or Mishnah, the Avodah B'Bechorim, the Avodah is done by the Bechorim, now we also had an Or Mishnah, but the Braisa adds, Vahakol Ksherim Mahakiv, also any kind of animal was Mutar to, any kind of animal was Mutar to offer as a Korban, Behema Chayeva Oif, a domestic animal, a wild animal, a bird, Chorim on the Kavis, males or females, Tumimin or Balin Mumin, whether they're Tumim, whether they're a Bal Mum, not if they're Mechot Ezer, as we'll say later, but they could be a Balmum. Tahurin Avalosmein, however, there was one criterion that you had at that time. It did have to be a Behema Tahura. So it had to be a kosher species of animal or bird. It couldn't be a Tereka species. And continues the Braise of Hakol Korvo Oilus. Everything at that time was brought only as Oilus. It sounds like that's what it means. Hakol Korvo Oilus. It sounds like at that time there was no such thing as a shlomim. We're going to get back to that later. Why? So the Mishkan was set up. Well, that's what the Braisa seems to be saying. We're going to challenge that soon based on Sukkim. But first, let's learn the Braisa. And then the Braisa continues. And here's the key thing. The oil that the Jewish people brought in the Midbar, that oil that they brought the day before Matan Torah, required Heshet Benitruach. You did have to strip off the skin, and you did have to cut it up into pieces like you do with an Ola after the Mishkan was set up. And Braisa finishes off, the Nochrim Bizman Azera Shorin Lassistain, Goyim nowadays, even when there's no Beit HaMikdash, are also allowed to do that kind of thing. They're also allowed to be Makriv Korbanos on Bamos. Unlike us, who once the Beit HaMikdash is built, are never allowed to bring on Bamos. Goyim are allowed to. We'll talk about the details of that more on Kufta Zayin Amud Beis, if you know about that. Anyway, the point is, so this Braisa seems to contradict Rav Chista or Rav Chana Baruch Sina in two things. Number one, he's saying that that was the last time the Bechorim ever did the Avodah, or that it wasn't even, that the Bechorim didn't even do the Avodah then, that the Koyanim did it, and the Bechorim are just there as spectators. And he's saying it didn't require Heshet Benitruach, that Koyanim. The Braisa says that up until the Mishkan was built, the Avodah was done by Bechorim, so long after Matan Torah, for 10 months after Matan Torah, still 9 months, whatever, and that the Ola did require Heshet Benitruach. So he's saying, so what are you telling me when I have a Braisa that contradicts you? Well, it means as opposed to that we Yidden are not allowed to, but actually, now that you mention it, a couple of Achronim asked the question, so what's the Kiddush? I mean, we know, they're going on Shevim Mitzvot in Enaya. There's no particular other rules for them. Why would we think they're not allowed to? Okay, that could be an answer, but actually, the Achronim talk about an answer, that the Achronim talk about a Chavnish, I think talks about it, Teren Ura talks about it, that what it means is you would think maybe that fine, but ultimately you have nitna Torah and a Kaja halacha. Once the Torah was given and there are new halachas, maybe now there's a new rule that which would apply therefore to the world at large, to Jews as well as Goyim, that when there's a Mishkan or when there's a Beit Mikdash or once it was set up in a permanent place, you're never allowed to be makriv in honor of Hashem anywhere else. But no, we're saying no, that rule was only for us Jewish people. The Goyim still have the old heter that they had from before the Matan Torah and before the Mishkan was built, that they can be makriv wherever they want. They're doing the Shem Shemaim. Obviously, if they do it the Shem Shemaim, that's different than all of the Yemen. So anyway, so we have a contradiction again. Rav Chista or Rav Chana Baruch Sina is saying that the Bechorim never again after that time brought Korbanos, or maybe even that they didn't bring Korbanos that time, the Bechorim also brought them, and the Korban didn't require Heshet Benitruach. The Braisa contradicts him on both points. The answer is, the Gemara says, Tanoi, it's Machloka Tanoi. Rav Chista or Rav Chana Bar Tina is going according to one opinion. The Braita is going according to a different opinion. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braita, now right before Matan Torah in Parashas Yisro, Hashem tells Moshe everybody needs to stay away from Har Sinai, and Hashem tells him V'gam haKoyanim hanigoshin el Hashem. Also, the Koyanim who approach Hashem, Yiskadoshu, have to prepare themselves. They have to be careful not to go up onto the mountain. Even though, Rashi says, usually they're the Koyanim. They're usually the ones who approach me, who approach Hashem, in order to do the Avodah. But now, with Matan Torah, and it's off limits to them also. So who are these Koyanim and Yigoshim El Hashem? Rabbi Yeshua ben Korachim is the precious Bechorim. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korachim says, this refers to Moshe after warning the Bechorim to stay off the mountain. So according to him, the Bechorim are the ones who up until now are Nigoshim al Hashem. They're the ones who up until now are approaching Hashem to serve Korbanah. Therefore, the opinion of Rav Chana or Rav Chista that the Bechorim did the Avodah at that time goes according to that. And our Mishnah also goes according to that. Zebi Yom is Rukrishis, Nadav and Avihu. Zebi says, no, it doesn't refer to the Bechorim, it refers to Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu, who usually up until now have been the Koyanim, or Rashi says actually they were designated to be Koyanim at Har Sinai, at Matan Torah. So they are the Koyanim who are going to be approaching Hashem to serve Korbanos. They have to be careful to stay off Har Sinai during the time of Matan Torah. Well, so okay, so you have some of them approach and say it doesn't mean only Nadav and Avihu, it means the Koyanim in general. The reason we're mentioning Nadav and Avihu is because Moshe is going to go on to say that eventually, when they died, it was for failure to do that, not with Har Sinai, but with a similar thing where they didn't stay out of the part of the Mishkan where they were supposed to stay out of. So you have a couple of, you have some of them approach and want to say which are specifically Nadav and Avihu and the, so to speak, the franchise was extended to the other Koyanim only afterwards. Okay. Anyway. So that's the bottom line is we have two opinions. Is it that the Bechorim are doing the Avodah at that point, or is it that the Koyanim are doing the Avodah? Okay, so the Gemara says, the Shleimelam under almost the precious Nadav Rabbi. I can understand, according to Rebbe, who says that the Koyanim HaNigoshim Al Hashem refers to Nadav Rabbi, Hainu Dechiv, so now we understand, later on in Parshas Shmini, after Nadav and Avihu bring their Eish Zara Asher L'Siva Oysam, and they die, so Moshe turns to Aaron and says to him, "Hu Ashadibur Hashem Lemar Bikroy Bayakodesh. This is what Hashem said, that with those who are close to me, I will be made holy." Meaning, according to Rebbe, what it means is like this. Before Matan Torah, Hashem had told Moshe, make sure you inform Nadav and Avihu that Har Sinai is off limits to them. Even though they're the Koyanim and Nigoshim al Hashem, they have to realize that Har Sinai is off limits to them during Matan Torah. So now, later on, when they made a similar mistake, when it came to not staying out of the limited areas, they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with their Eish Zara, so Moshe says to Aaron, so now this is what Hashem meant when he said by Matan Torah that they have to be careful to stay away. This is the kind of thing Hashem meant, not just at Matan Torah, but at other times that they need to be careful to stay within bounds. Because either they were the only Koyanim or they were the prototype of Koyanim, whatever, yes. So if we say that the warning before Matan Torah, the Gamma Koyanim and Igoshim al Hashem Yiskadoshu, is addressed to Nadav and Avihu, or that rather Moshe should address it to Nadav and Avihu, then we understand why a year later Moshe is saying, you know what, Nadav and Avihu evidently forgot that warning now because they went into the part of the Mishkan they weren't supposed to. El amanda omuzu krishis bechodes, but if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that Koyanim and Igoshim al Hashem by Matan Torah refers to the Bechodim, So what is Moshe saying? This is what Hashem said, Bikroi Vayakadosh, implying that Hashem was saying that Nadav and Avihu had better be on notice, that they should be aware of it. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Nadav and Avihu weren't specifically being addressed before Matan Torah. The answer is, it's a different topic, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. This is, because you have in Parashat Kisada, after it describes how they're going to bring the Korbanos HaMiluim, during the 7 days of the inauguration of Mishkan, Hashem says, "V'nei adki shomel of Nei Yisrael, I will, so to speak, make an appointment there for the Jewish people. That'll be that's why it's called the Oyel Moed. V'nei adki, Hashem says, like, I'll make an appointment to come there to speak to you, Moshe, on behalf of the Jewish people. V'nikdash v'chvoyi, and it, the Mishkan, will be made holy with my covenant." Which means, in other words, Hashem was hinting. So it comes out, so now Moshe has said, "I'll take you b'chavodi elav b'chobodai," means not b'chavodi with my glory or with my honor, but b'chobodai through the ones whom I honor, through the ones who are close, the Kohenim who are close to me. Which means, Dabar Zeh Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, means Hashem had told that to Moshe in Parshas Pesada, that when the Mishkan is inaugurated, there's going to be a Mikdash B'chvodi, and he didn't know what that meant. Rashi says it means he actually didn't even realize that it meant that Hashem said there's going to be an example was going to be made of somebody. Tosfos says, and also Rashi mentions on the pulpit, both of them based on the Medrash, that actually, no, Moshe understood from that it meant Hashem saying, I'm going to make an example of somebody, but he didn't realize that the somebody is going to be not of an Aviv. Rashi brings on the pulpit, and Tosfos brings over here, that Moshe says to Aaron, I thought it was going to be me or you. Now I see it was not of an Aviv, so we see that they're greater, yeah. Well, of course they have free will, but also, you know, Yediyah is not machrachas abechira, right? Hashem knowing what we're going to do doesn't affect anybody's free will. But there's also, I mean, yes, but it means, in other words, Hashem was saying that there's going to happen something at that time, which therefore I'm going to have to make an example. There's actually a medrash that gives a metaphor for it, that a king on a coronation day, so he's going to be sitting on a throne and wearing his crown for the first time, and his best friend, his best friend, his closest advisor, whatever, decides as a joke, as a play act, to sit on the throne and wear the crown himself. And the king immediately orders him executed. If this guy thinks he can take liberties with things, other people are gonna think they can do the same thing. So Hashem, so to speak, says the same thing, not even Aviyu, precisely because they're so close to Hashem. I have to make an example of it so other people don't think that they can tamper with the details of the Avodah. Okay, so therefore, so originally, in other words, Moshe, so Veloy Yodo, Moshe didn't know what Hashem meant, either like Rashi over here, he didn't know that Hashem meant he was going to make an example of anybody, or like Rashi on the Tosfos and Tosfos over here, he knew Hashem was going to make an example of somebody, but he didn't know who. Ad Shemesu Bnei Aaron, till Bnei Aaron died, Kibben Shemesu Bnei Aaron, once Bnei Aaron died, Omoloi, so now he says to him, Aaron Ochi, my brother Aaron, you should know, your children died only in order to make a Kiddush Hashem, in order that everybody should realize that you don't play around with these things. By the way, I mean, Marshall points out, obviously, if they hadn't done an Avera, Hashem wouldn't have made an example of them. Then it's not a Kiddush Hashem that Hashem should just punish somebody at random for not doing an Avera. What Moshe meant is that Hashem was hinting to me that somebody is going to end up slipping up, and Hashem is going to make an example of them. Okay, well, like Rabbi Kiva being killed, I'll finish Hashem, and, you know, it wasn't any specific idea. Okay, still, though, you know, first of all, that's there is that. It was done on the face of it, how you did possible job. You also have over there Rabbi Kiva, his whole life is saying, Halabaya should have the chance to go, I'll finish Hashem, not even Abiyah were doing that. I mean, I'll consider it, yes, because I've lost it below Shoy, fine, yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So that itself creates the Kiddush Hashem, right? Exactly. Right. So now, when Aaron realized from that his sons are close or known by Hashem, known in the sense of Adam Yoda, a tremendous closeness to Hashem. And therefore, that they're the mechubadai that Hashem meant, b'nei ad sham l'bnei yisrael v'nikdash b'chvodi, shot up, so now he was quiet. He didn't protest against Hashem's din. He accepted it. He accepted it ba'ava, the kibble tyrant. And he received a reward from that. What is the reward? He could have still argued that the punishment is all out of proportion to the Avera, or that that could be also okay. It's actually there's a verse that's set on this that actually so Aaron is by Yidrei Aaron, who's quiet. David HaMelech until him goes beyond that. Laman is a matter of chavod v'loy Yidrei. When I'm in trouble, I'm not just that I'm going to be by Yidrei Aaron, but I'll actually still have the ability to sing to Hashem. Anyway. So he's given a reward for that. What is the reward? Rashi brings from the Medrash that the next mitzvah that Hashem gave is addressed to Aaron by Dabur Hashem al Aaron Leimer Yain Veshecha. They had the dibur of Hashem specifically to him, instead of usually to Moshe and Aaron together, or to Moshe to tell Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's exactly the connection that the Medrash says, that because there was three yayin, that's why Hashem tells Aaron, let's make it official that you can't do that. That's the reward itself, right, that he receives the command, right. No. And we find a similar concept by David. That in Kapitel Lamed Zayin, it says, be quiet to Hashem, be cholaloi. The simple meaning of be cholal is, and hope for Hashem's help. But also, the Gemara Darshan, it means his cholam, loshen chalolim. Even when Hashem is creating corpses upon corpses, as over here, you have not of an Avi or dead, at so. You should be quiet and accept Hashem's din and accept Hashem's din ba'ava. And similarly, you have Shloim HaMelech says in Kehelet, Eis lach shos ve'eis v'daver. There's a time to be quiet and there's a time to speak. Meaning that Shloim means Ta'amim sheshosek v'makabal shkara l'shtika. Sometimes you have a person is quiet and he gets a reward from Hashem for being quiet, like we find over here with Aaron. And sometimes you have it when it's appropriate that a person speaks and he receives a reward from Hashem for that speaking in the appropriate time. Medrash gives examples, for example, Devorah singing, Moshe and the Jewish people singing, Oz Yashir. Those are examples when Eis L'daber, when it's appropriate to speak up and express thanks to Hashem. Okay, so that's the bottom line is, therefore, sort of Yeshua ben Karcha has a way of explaining how it is when Moshe says, Hu Asher Dibra Hashem Lemer, that he's not referring to the warning by Matan Torah of Agama Koyanim, because according to him, that's not referring to Nadav and Avir, it's referring to the Bechorim, but rather he's referring to the Vinayat Shama, Vinikdash Bechorim. Okay, continues the Gemara, Behind the Amr of Chiba Abba Amr of Yechon, and this also fits with what Rabbi Chiba Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yechon, My Dechiv Nora Lekim Minikdash Shafa, what does it mean on another part of Gemtilim? Hashem is awesome, is fearful, or the Kim is Midas Adin, is Noira, Mimikda Shecha, from your holy place. Again, I'll teach you, Mimikda Shecha, Ela Mimikuda Shecha. Again, not Mimikda Shecha from your base Mimikdash, but Mimikuda Shecha from your holy one. Same idea, the Shah Shah Oitak, or the Shah Shah Jindik Doshav, when Hashem executes judgment against the holy ones, against the great tzaddikim, Mitziare, then the Hashem is made to be feared, Umis Allah, and he's elevated, Umis Halal, and he's praised, that people realize that Hashem doesn't play favorites. That Hashem is Medakrik and Tzaddikim, Kochot Asaira, that Hashem doesn't say, well, he's a tzaddik, I'm gonna go easy on it. Right. Okay. So that takes care of that issue. But now, going back to, So now we're back to like this. Again, we started by saying that the Avoda was done by the Bechorim that one time before Matan Torah, and then that's it. Or maybe not even that one time, it was done by the Kohenim, and we said the Olo there did not require Hepshit and Nituach. And on the other hand, we had on Mishnah saying the Avoda was done by Bechorim, and the Braisa adding that it required Hepshit and Nituach. So the Bechorim versus the Koyanim we've taken care of. That's a Machloit of Panoyim. We have Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha versus Rebbe. Ela Tasha Ola, what about the contradiction regarding the Ola, where the Chista or the Konabred of Pina, Ibar of Pina, is saying that the Ola that they brought on that day before Matan Torah did not require Hepshit and Nituach. It was just taken, the animal as it is, was taken and burned on the Mizbeach, as opposed to the Braisa that said that it did require Hepshit and Nituach. What do we do with that contradiction? The answer is again, Chile Tanuri. Again, so it's a machlokas between two Tanuri. The Tanya. No, different, no. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braita, Rabbi Shmuel, I'm a clawless Nemru with Sinai. Rabbi Shmuel says like this. You have, when it comes to the mitzvah, you have the generality of them was given at House Sinai, Uprotos Ba'oyomod, and then the specifics were given later on after the Mishkan was set up. So, for example, Rashi gives an example. Let's say, right after Matan Torah, at the end of Parashat Yisroel, it says, Mizbach Adoma Tafeli, you should make me a Mizbeach of Earth, Vizavachta Olavas Elosecha, Vaz Shlomacha, Sencha, Vaz Pokarecha, and you should offer honor your Olos, your Shlomim, and your sheep and your cattle. No further details are given, as it is. Not where the korban should be shefted, not what should be done with the blood, not what should be done with the Emurim, and so forth. as opposed to later on in Parshas Vayikra, Vayikra Amarsha, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Ma'ol Ma'ol Leimer, and Hashem starts giving him all the details, and Olam has to be shechted on the north, and the blood has to be received in the north, and the blood is sprinkled with Shema Tanas Shein Arba, etc., etc. So Rabbi Shmuel says what it means is like this. Comes Matan Torah, Hashem tells Moshe these general rules, you should know there's going to be such a thing as an Olam of Shlomim, but no details are given. Therefore, at any time from then until the Mishkan was set up, when they're bringing an Ola and a Shlomim, the rules don't apply yet. You master the whole thing whole. You don't cut it up. You don't skin it. Later on, after Hashem tells him in Oyel Moed, after the Oyel Moed is set up and Hashem starts telling him the details, from then on you need Heshif in Yisra. Eventually the whole Ola is burnt anyway, except, well, no, because the skin is given to prey. Until that point, the whole thing would be burnt. That's what Rabbi Shmuel was learning. So what Rav Chista or Rav Chana Bar Kfina was quoting in the name of Rav Adar Bar Abba, that the oil that they brought there at the time of Matan Torah did not require Heshev in Yitzhak. By the way, all this time I've been saying it was before Matan Torah, but Ramban actually explains differently. The Ramban explains that this is actually the day after Matan Torah. It's actually an argument that goes back to the Medrash, I think that goes back to the Mechilta, about whether it's before or after. The Ramban mentions, first of all, on the basis of the Seder of the Sukkim, like this at the end of Parashat Mishpatim. Yeah, there is also a Seder. Yeah, that's true also. I don't remember, actually. I know there's a Seder that discusses the events at the end of Parashat Mishpatim. I don't remember that it specifically discusses the sequence, but yeah. So Rabbi Shmuel would say, therefore, that at Matan Torah, or right before it, when they're bringing an Ola, they're bringing it without Heshet and Yitzhak. So the rules of Heshet and Yitzhak are only given the following year, the Shodesh Nissan. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva Omer, Klolos Ukrotes Nem Rabbi Sinai. Rabbi Akiva says both the generalities and the specifics are given at Har Sinai. We know the famous thing. We know the famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Bahar, that Shmita, the Klolos and Ukrotes, are given at Har Sinai, and therefore the same is true of all the other mitzvahs. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. That's not according to Rabbi Shmuel. So klolos across this name of the Sinai, v'nishnu ba'oyel moed, then they were repeated a second time in the oyel moed, that Hashem repeats them, saying them from the oyel moed, in Chumash Vayikra, v'nishtaushu ba'arvas moyev, and then they were repeated a third time in arvas moyev, when Moshe is telling them, is saying to them his speech, which is most of Chumash Devarim, then he's repeating all the details of the mitzvahs for the Jewish people a third time. So according to Rabbi Akiva, right from the beginning, when an Ola is brought, you already have the process, you already have the details that it has to have Heshet and Yitzhak, among other things. Therefore, that Ola they brought at the time of Matan Torah would have also required Heshet and Yitzhak. And that would be what the Braisa that we quoted before goes according to. No, so Rabbi Shmuel holds that no, yeah, the klolos were given at Matan Torah and the prosim were given later at various times throughout the 40 years. Okay, so that takes care of that contradiction. Okay, now let's analyze more parts of that Braisa. Again, the Braisa had said that before the Mishkan was set up, Bomer Samutr, that the Bechurim are doing the Avodah, and you can bring any kind of animal as a korban, whether it's a domestic or wild animal or a bird, male or female, tamer or bal mum, as long as it's a behemoth or herder, and we said everything is offered as over. So now we're going to analyze those parts of the braisa. So, omamah, hakol kosher in lahatri, we said that any kind of animal was kosher to be brought as a korban before Matan Torah, or before the Mishkan was set up, rather, you could, unlike afterwards where you only have cattle, sheep, and goats, and two types of birds, a kosher for a korban, before the Mishkan was set up, you could also bring a kosher wild animal, like a deer or a gazelle, or any kind of kosher bird. And he said it can be male or female, tamer v'al mum, menohanimili. So where do we know that from? Like this, because the pasuk says after the marvel, by Yiven Noach Mizbeach Hashem, because Noach built Mizbeach Hashem, by Yikach Mikol Behema Hatahoro Mikol Oifatar, he took from all the Tahor Behemoth and from all the Tahor birds. So let's analyze what the pasuk means. Behema is Mashmo. The word Behema means exactly what it sounds like. It means domestic animals. Chaya v'chal Behema. We know that it also includes wild animals because many times the word behema is a generic word that means land animals, and it can include chayas as well. Rashi brings, in fact, from this week's parasha. Zoyta behema asher shechelu says, these are the behemoths that you can eat, and then it lists three domestic and seven wild types. So we see that the wild type, the highest, are included in the general category of behemoth. So when it says they took Mikola behemoth to Hoda, that covers the behemoth and the highest. And the oath. So therefore you see that behemoth, highest, and oath were all valid as korbanos. That's the point. That's what we're saying. Before Matan Torah and before the Mishkan was set up, the rules were different. You can bring any kind of animal for korban. Actually, who come on Mishkan? Brisa said that. Okay, we said that the Brisa said you could bring korban and a kavus sniminu balimomin. You could bring animals of a korban. Now again, unlike after the Mishkan was set up, where you have the rule that an oila can only be a male animal, and so here it was before Matan Torah, it wasn't like that. It could be a male or a female. It could be a tumim or it could be a balmor. We know that. So this part is in parentheses because the Birkas HaZevach takes it out on the basis of that it seems that Rashi does not have that part of the Gersa. But sorry, Jomam Mark, we say Tamus Vazakus the Behema, the rule of being Tom and then that an animal has to be Tomim and that it has to be a male only applies to animals. The in Tamus Vazakus Boifus, it doesn't apply to birds, even after the Mishkan is set up. You're allowed to bring a bird, a female bird as an Ola, and it's allowed, only Torah of Benayona, but it can be a female bird, and it can be a female Torah of Benayona, and it can be a Balmum. The Itkash Behema Lois, and since we have in the positive, if by Noach a hekesh between behema and oz, so it means the behema also could be sniman or balimomen. But the point is, la pukin mechusar ever deloy, as opposed to the braisa is implying that you were able to bring animals whether they're tumim or balimomen, but not if they're mechusar ever, not if they're actually missing a limb. That even before the Mishkan was set up, you weren't allowed to. No, but it's a bigger one. We've learned earlier in our Masechta, actually, there's a difference in that regard. Mechusar Eiver versus Mechusar Eiver, which is also even for Bnei Noach, versus the more minor Mumim, which are only also for us, but not for Bnei Noach. That's what we're saying, yes. That Bnei Noach, and Bnei Noach, even before Matan Torah, and anybody anybody before Matan Torah, everybody Bnei Noach before Matan Torah, and Bnei Noach after Matan Torah are not allowed to bring Mechusar Eiver as a korban, even on their own private mizbeach. We had it, by the way, we had a discussion about that in Avodah Zarah as well. We discussed over there that therefore, Lahavdil, when Goyim offer animals to their getchkes, they also don't offer a Mechusar Eiver, because they still took that original idea that they had from when the whole world was bringing korbanos to Hashem, and they applied it to their they applied it to their own religious rituals, but they still kept that idea of not doing a Mechusar Eiver. Right, basically. So Omer Rav Elazar, so Rav Elazar says, Minayin Mechusar Eiver Shenesel Bnei Noach. Tataka, how do we know that a Mechusar Eiver is not allowed for Bnei Noach to offer as a korban? Talmud Lomar, because you have, again, by Noach, when Hashem tells him what animals to bring into the teva, Hashem tells him, when we call a chai mikol boser, from everything that's living, from all flesh, meaning, Omra Torda, hove behema shechayim rosha evarim, shalom. Means Hashem is telling Noach, bring into the teva only animals where their main limbs are still alive. In other words, that they're not cut off or missing or whatever, that they're not Mechusar Eiver. Now, why would that be? Because afterwards, after the Mabul, he's going to have to be bringing Korbanos from them. So therefore, we see that Bnei Noach can't bring Mechusar Eiver. So the Gemara says, how do you know that Mikol HaChai means to teach us an animal that all its limbs are intact? The Dumala Mu'uti Treva, maybe what the Pasuk is telling us in Mikol HaChai means that Hashem is telling Noach, don't bring any animals that are Treva, that have one of the conditions that would make them Treva. That's the answer. So the answer is, we have a different Pasuk, because Hashem tells him, I want you to bring in these animals, L'chayas Zerah, to keep seed alive. Now a trefa is not able to, and trefa is not able to bear or to produce children. So the Gemara says, okay, that works out well according to the opinion. Now the Gemara and Chulin discusses back at this point: is a trefa capable of giving birth? You have two different opinions about that. So if you say that a trefa is any yaledes, fine. And l'chayas zera cuts out the trefas, and therefore Mikol HaChai is able to tell us about Rosh Eivarim. But according to the opinion in the Gemara over there, that a trefa is able to have children, Maikulamema, then what are you going to say? Then Lachayat Zera does not exclude Tereka. So then you could argue that Mikol Chai comes to exclude Tereka, and you don't have a source from a Chutzer Eber. The answer is, okay, Ha'amakra Ito. Okay, but the Pasuk says that Hashem says to Moshe that you should bring in the animals with you. And with you means not just that they're going to be physically with you in the Teva. It means V'doymin Loch, they have to be similar to you. They have to be similar to you. The question is, okay, the German Noach Gufa Terefa Abba. Okay, so maybe Noach himself was a Terefa. How do we know that not? Now Tosfos asks the question, what do you mean? Of course Noach couldn't have been a Terefa. He lived 300 odd years after the Mabul. The definition of a Terefa is you do have an argument in the Gemara in Chulin whether Terefa Chaya or not. An animal that became a Terefa, can it live for more than 12 months after that happened or not? You have two different opinions about it, but our Gemara evidently is going according to the opinion of Terefa and a Chaya, which is why we thought to learn from the Kol Chai and the Kol Basel. But obviously Noach can't have been a Terefa if he lived 300 odd years after that. Well, that doesn't mean that's certainly meaning not a Terefa. Okay. So Tosfos brings that Aben Tam held that there is a difference between Terefas of animals and Terefas of behemoths. A person has mazel. A person has a higher source for neshama, lamaila, and therefore that can help him between people and animals, isn't that? Oh, okay. I meant people and animals. So the difference between people and animals. Okay, the difference between people and animals is people have mazel, people have a shodesh for the neshama lamayla, a behemoth doesn't. Therefore, you can have things that would kill an animal, but a person might survive. This little bit of choiceless over here gives rise to a vast amount of discussion among the poskim and among the achronim, because, for example, you have a din, for example, that let's say a person fell overboard a ship, and afterwards you recover a leg of theirs or something, where cut off above the knee in such a case where for an animal it would be Teresa, then for the person, if this is a person, once 12 months have passed, you can assume that you can allow his wife to be married, because at that point he must surely be dead. So we see that Teresa applies to human beings just as they do to animals. So the case is, let's say, for example, a person fell overboard a ship. Yeah. Afterwards, you recover, let's say, a leg of his, the lower leg and the upper leg, let's say, where if an animal had lost that amount of its leg, then it would be a chaser. But like this, with a person, once 12 months have passed, then also you can, according to Tosfos over here, how would that work? So that gives rise to a vast amount of discussion. You have the Tesef Mishnah talks about it, and then the Birkat HaZevach wants to say that there's a mistake in the Tesef Mishnah when he says that he can't possibly mean that, because he doesn't even bring that in Shulchan Aruch. And there's a lot of discussion about it. So the Tesef Mishnah is the same as the Mechaber. Yeah. He's saying that if you look at this, the Tesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Haro brought this in Tesef Mishnah, did not bring this in Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, obviously, it must have been a mistake. I'm the Rambam, right? But not in Shulchan Aruch. So obviously, it must be a mistake. In Shulchan Aruch. And then there's a lot of discussion back and forth. There's an argument that maybe there's a difference between different types. I don't know. So you have a lot of discussion about this point. You have, you have some of the Achronim want to argue with Tzon Todshin, for example, argue that there can be a difference, after all, between different types of Terefas. Yes, you can have some Terefas that can affect, for example, we'll learn in Kolin, when we talk about Terefas, when we learn Perikela Terefas, for example, we'll learn that an animal is a Terefas, one of the membranes around the brain is punctured, whereas with a person, a puncture in that is not enough to make them a Terefas. You need an actual puncture in the skull. So therefore, you have an example over there where a Terefas doesn't necessarily apply in the same way for a person or an animal. Then it's not necessarily. It's not necessarily going to kill a person, but with an animal, it would be true. Yeah, okay. Okay. You have other arguments about it as well. You have, as far as this matter of an animal losing a limb, you have Andrew Biosi saying in the cold one over there that after all you could cauterize it and the animal could survive. So okay, with a person has mazel, so therefore there's a cauterization he may have that is shirtish and a shamal mila, is malach lamila will pull him through after that, with an animal not. But like I said, there's a lot of discussion based on these few lines of Tosfos over here. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, in the Sugya in Avodah Zarah, Tosfos gives a bit more of a balabatish answer. Fine, in the event Noach lived 350 years after the Bible. He didn't know at the time he was going to, he didn't know how long he was going to live. Conceivably, he could have been a Tosfos at the time without knowing. The Tosfos is the last Tosfos over here, Jom and Noach. And I'm called Tazayin and Malala. Right. Okay, getting back to the Gemara. Okay, so anyway, so the point is, we're saying that Hashem says Isach, which means the German law, so that cuts out Tereza, even if you say that a Tereza is Yeladis. So we're saying, what if Noach himself was a Tereza? It was Tomim, did they? Okay, but the Pasuk calls him Tomim, which means he wasn't a Tereza. Quite, how do you know it means his body? Tomim the Drachov, maybe it means he's perfect in his ways, but physically he was a Tereza. So it's okay, for that you don't need Tzadik, did they? So he was a Tzadik. Therefore, the word Tomim must mean that he was physically whole. Question is, Vidum Tomim the... That's the thing. The Gemara assumes if it says Tzadik and Tomim, one of them is talking about morally and the other one is talking about physically. He started building 120 years before the Mabel. Fine, but he didn't bring in the animals 120 years before. He brought in the animals right before. No, but at that point, Hashem's not telling him to bring the animals in yet. Okay, so the question is, fine, maybe both of them mean morally, but Tomim and Zrach of Tzadik of Isaac. Maybe both Tomim and Tzadik refer to one refers to his ways and the other refers to his actions. So how do you have anything that says that he wasn't a Tzadik? The answer is, you can prove it logically. Given that you have the word Isaac, which means B'Domin Lach. So what are you going to think? If you're going to think that Noach himself was a Tzadik, so what would be the logic? What would be the logic? Hashem would be telling Noach, Davka, bring in animals that are Tereza, don't bring in any animals that aren't like you that are whole. Obviously, the more logical thing is to say that Noach himself was whole, was not a Tereza, and therefore that Hashem is telling him to bring in intact, whole animals. Okay. So then the question is, okay, so far what we have is as follows. Again, from Mikol Chai Mikol Boto, we're learning that it has to be Chai and Rosh Evoi. Because again, he's going to be bringing them for korbanos. That's what we said. Mechoser Aver is possible for a korban for bnei Noach. From lachayis zera, we might learn that treifas are also not also that treifas are that it is not supposed to be bringing in treifas. But we said that only works according to one opinion. So to take care of the other opinion, we have the word itach, which we established means that itach means like you, not treifas. So now the question is, ma'achad the nafsalam me'itach. So fine, if we can say that more straightforwardly, that we learn no traces from itach, l'chayes zera l'amoni. So why do we need the word l'chayes zera? The answer is, ma'u detema, itach was savsa ba'alma, because if you didn't have the word l'chayes zera, you would misunderstand the word itach. What does it mean? You wouldn't think then that itach means the animals have to be in a certain way similar to you. You would think it just means with you, in other words, to keep your company. Well, savsa ba'alma, all after you, you're bringing in the animals, so you have company in the table. After the zokin, after the sris, maybe therefore it wouldn't be objectionable if the animal was old or infertile. Kamash Malan, so the word l'chayes zera clarifies, no, they're not just there to keep Noach company. They're there to actually reproduce and repopulate the world with their species. Therefore they can't be a zokin or a sris. And once we have that, we can also say, on the basis of the word itach, we can say that it also means that once we have l'chayes zera to clarify, not a zokin or not a sris, now we can correctly understand the word itach to mean also not a tereza. Even if we say tereza, any yeladis, nevertheless, we don't want tereza there, because we want them to be not just there for company to Noach, but also to be similar to him in not being tereza. They separated the males and females, huh? Yeah. Okay. Then we said in the bright, maybe not. The Medrash says there were three different species that did have relations in the Teva. Not in the Medrash, actually, we looked in Sanhedrin, yeah.
But I mean, the other one?
Yeah. Okay. The raven, the dog, and the chum, yeah. Okay. All right. We said, Tehorin Avaloitme, and we said in the Braisa that even before the Mishkan was built, though, only behemoths that are tahor could be offered as korbanos, not behemoth smeis, not non-kosher species. the question is, what do you mean? If we're learning from Noach, at that point there didn't exist the concept of behemoth tahurus and behemoth tmeis yet. The Torah hadn't been given. There's no distinction yet. B'nei Noach are allowed to eat any animal. So what do you mean behemoth tahurus versus not? You're right. When it says, when Hashem tells Noach that there's going to be a distinction between Tahurus and Tmeis, that you bring in seven of one and two of the other, it means he can only be bringing one that Avera had not been done with him. Avera, in Gemara terminology, usually Avera, unspecified, means no. We know the famous thing that says that before the Mabul, even the animals were interbreeding with each other. So here, Noach has to be picking animals that have not done that, that have stayed true to their own species. How does he know? Menahav Yadi. So how is he supposed to know that? The answer is Kidr of Chista. The Amr of Chista, because of Chista says, what he did is have Zira Mekneh Teva. Noach had the animals walk in front of the Teva. Kol Shah Teva Kailasan. If the Teva accepts it in, or holds on to it, or whatever, then, in other words, I guess the idea would be, like, he'd open up the door, and if the Teva would allow them in, and the door wouldn't slam shut. Or maybe it meant like sometimes Kotosan in these things can also mean like the animal would temporarily be sort of like paralyzed, like being held by, you could say like being held by the force field of the table. So then you know it belongs in the table. So then good, the Adurash Rotar, then you know it's Tar. Aina, Teva, Kolosan, if the Teva doesn't receive it, the Adurash ain't Smein, then we know that it's Tar. Yeah, either the door slams or it's able to walk by without being stopped, whatever. Now, on the face of this, the way we have, I don't know if animals are really capable of embarrassment, but okay. Now, the Gyusa that we have in front of us in the Gemara, is a little bit of a problem, because the fact of the matter is, so what are you telling me then? What is the Noach is supposed to be taking in seven of the ones that Shaloi Nevda Behen Avera, and two each of the ones that Nevda Behen Avera? So on the side. Okay, so if you're going to say that Tmein or Tahurin over here means Nevda Behen Avera or not, but they interbred or they didn't, then what is with, after all, Hashem tells Noach take in seven of the Tahor ones and two of the Tamei ones. So what does that mean? Noach is supposed to take in some of the ones that interbred, take more of the ones that didn't. What's the logic? The whole point is, we want only ones, and we want only ones that are good. So therefore, on the side over here, it brings a different girsa, which Maharsha says must be the correct girsa, that no, what it means is, Tmein or Tahorin means Me'oisen Ha'afidinli Tahor, which means, it's true, at that point, there is no distinction yet between Tomei and Tahor species, because B'nai Noach are allowed to eat all of them, but there are certain species that eventually, it's destined that 800 years later, Hashem is going to give the Torah to the Jewish people and declare these species are Tahor and these are Tomei. So therefore, those are the ones that even now Noach ended up, was supposed to take seven of one versus two of the other. And then, one second, and then according to that, the question is, so how is Noach supposed to know if the Torah hadn't been given yet? So Rashi on the passage says, yeah, Noach learned Torah, so he was able to know. Our Gemara doesn't accept that. So our Gemara, according to the second Yirsa, would be saying that whichever ones are accepted by the Teva, then Noach knows that they're the Tahor ones. And therefore, or by elimination, all the other ones are the non-Tahor ones. And he takes in two of each of those.
So the ones that are not Tahor, fine.
But the point is, those he didn't need to take seven of each. He just took two of each. To be popular. So then, no, according to that, Kultasan and Kultasan would mean, as far as the Tahor ones, Kultasan, and the other ones later, after he's finished getting all the Tahor ones, and he starts with Tomei ones and just takes two of every species in between. What were you going to ask? Okay. Yeah, Rashi brings on the positive. Malamach and Lamander Shalom on Noach Torah, but our Gemara is taking a different tack on him. Rav Abohu says, I have a different answer. How Noach knew which animals to bring in and which not. The pasuk says, "Omakra v'haboy zocher nekeva." The pasuk says the animals that came, male and female, means haboy meleihen, means whichever ones came on their own. Those are the ones when if seven of them come, he knows that they're behemoth tahurus. If two of them come, he knows they're behemoth tmeis. So therefore, that way he knew automatically. He didn't need any of this teva kol tahur. They would come on their own. They would come on their own. Hashem would give them the instinct to come on their own and in the proper number. Getting back to the Brayt, so Amamav, our Kol Korvu Olus, we said that before the Mishkan was built, everything was offered as Olus, which sounds, at face value, that's what it sounds like. It means that before the Mishkan was built, there's no such thing as any other kind of korban. There's no such thing as a shlamim, for example. So the question, what do you mean, Olus ain't shlamim was? You're telling me before the Mishkan was built, you only had Olus, not Shlomim. V'haktiv, but the second half of the pasuk about Vayishlach of Na'ar Ibn Yisrael, before we quoted the first half, Vayishlach of Na'ar Ibn Yisrael, Vayalu Olus, and we discussed there whether it means that the Na'ar Ibn Yisrael, the Bechorim, offered the Olus, or does it mean that the Na'ar Ibn Yisrael are standing there to watch while the Kohenim are offering the Olus. But then the pasuk continues, Vayizbachu Zvachim Shlomim L'Hashem Parim. They offered Korbanos of Shlomim to Hashem, oxen. So then they brought Shlomim. Ela ema hakol korbu oilus ushlom. So no, you have to fix up the wording of the braisa. What it means is that, yes, before Matan Torah, everything could be brought as oilus or as oilus or shlomim, but v'hatanya abo shlomim loy ti'im oilus, meaning oilus ain't shlomim loy, but you have a different braisa that says not shlomim, only oilus. So we have a contradiction. That, now, this is with the square brackets that we have here, which is what the Birkas HaDevah puts in order to have, which is one gear there a bit. The Rashi and the Shita Mukubetas don't have that. They understand rather a little bit differently, not Hakol Kovu Olus, but Lakol Kovu Olus. That, the Braita is telling us that no, before the Mishkan was set up, neither the Jewish people nor Bnei Noach could bring anything other than Olus. Once the Jewish people are chosen at Matan, one second, I'll tell you. Once the Jewish people are chosen at Matan Torah, then they can start bringing Shlomim. So in other words, then it still comes out a contradiction. That, again, the part with the brackets that we have over here means the contradiction is we have one Braita saying that to begin with they could be bringing Olus to Shlomim even before Matan Torah, whereas we have another Braita says only Olus. According to Rashi and the Shita Mukubetas is Girsa, rather, the contradiction is that we'll say that the Braita recorded before says they could only bring Olus until the Mishkan was built, whereas now we're saying that Shlomim could only be brought beginning from Matan Torah onwards. So is it from Matan Torah onwards, or is it from the Mishkan, from when the Mishkan is built on, and onwards? And the answer is, you're right. Commander Amalek Kov with Shlomim Bnei Noach. You're right. The one bright that would be according to the opinion that Bnei Noach are not able to bring Shlomim. Bnei Yisrael are able to bring, we have two different opinions then. One that nobody was able to bring Shlomim until the Mishkan was built. Another one that Bnei Noach are not able to bring Shlomim, but Bnei Yisrael are, once we became Bnei Yisrael at Matan Torah, then we're able to bring Shlomim. And that would work with the pasuk over there by Yisbukhus Vachim Shlomim Lashem Parim. Now, what's the idea behind that? So one idea is, an Ola represents, like, you have nothing to do with the world. An Ola is completely burnt by Hashem. Like, Shlomim represents the idea, like, you're bringing Elikus down into the world. You're able to actually eat part of the Korban off Hashem's table. So the goyim, Bnei Noach, are shy after the concept of an Ola. So to dedicate yourself completely to Elikus. That's, they have an idea. They have such ideas in their religions, after all, of ascetics and whatever. But the concept of joining together El Yonim and Tachtonim and being able to bring a Shlomim, that's unique to us Jewish people. So it's a higher level. It's lots of ways brought up Yidup and Tachtonim, which is our mission in the world, not the mission of Bnei Noach. No, because that's the thing. The ability to bring down spirituality into the world itself is a greater thing. It's a truer expression of all the course. No, but that's at least they're able to strive towards that idea. Rav Shamshon of Paul Hirsch explains a different thing on it. Also, he points out, In a previous perek of Amos Esther, back on Kofalos Kofes, and we have the whole sugya about an Oinin, we discussed over there that from the word Shlomim, meaning Zevach Shlomim Korbanai, we learn that a person has to be able to feel whole at the time he's bringing a Korban. That's why an Oinin is not able to be Makar Korbanai. He's not whole because he's relative to size. Right. Primarily we mentioned over there about an Oinin. So the idea is, he says, the Goyim, their idea of religion, their idea of other course is it's something for when you're in trouble, when you're sad, when you're in trouble or whatever, then you turn to Hashem and you turn to religion and whatever to comfort yourself and to comfort the other people. The concept that you should be, you feel shalom, you feel whole, you have everything you need, but you still realize you need to come to Hashem and offer him a korban, that's something that only we Jewish people have.
So they still believe that there's a complete separation between between this world and...
Well, that's the point. That's the Ola verse. That's the point. The Ola versus the Shlamim, right? We're gonna mention in a few lines also north versus south, and I'll remind me when we get to that also. Perush mentions something related to that also with that. Actually, I may as well mention it now. He says the idea is the north is the dark side. The sun never shines in the north, in the northern hemisphere. So again, the goyim are limited to bringing the type of korban and oila that can only be shechted on the north side, representing the idea again that their idea of what religion is all about is for times when it's dark and you're in trouble and whatever. Whereas we Jewish people have both korbanos that can be offered in the north or the south, both in the bad times and the good times. The south, for example, shlamim can be brought anywhere in the other. So there's Dorim and Sofren, as the Gemara is going to say soon, representing the idea that we understand that a connection with Hashem is both when a person is in trouble and also equally much when a person is feeling happy and content and whatever. The opposite of Vayishvan Yeshur and Vayivas, in other words. All right, going on to the Gemara.
Because they don't have a nefesh, I guess
that has something to do with it. Okay. The itma. In fact, we have an argument about that. An argument of Tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosef, or Halazah, rather, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Kanina, had om a korvu shlomim b'nei Noach. One says that b'nei Noach were able to bring shlomim, v'chad om a loy korvu, and the other one says no, b'nei Noach were not able to bring shlomim, only oil. Okay, my time of demand on the Korvu Shlomim B'nei Noach, the opinion that says that B'nei Noach are able to bring Shlomim, where does he get it from? It says that Hevel brought a korban from the firstborn of his sheep and from their chelev. So he focuses on the word chelvehem. What kind of korban do you have where only the fat is offered on the mizbeach and not the rest of it? Hevayim is a shlomim. That would you have to say that's a shlomim. Therefore, that opinion says
only the
fat, right? Only the emorim are burnt on the mizbeach. The rest is eaten by the kohenim and the owners. So therefore, so that opinion says, there you see, even Hevel, right, shortly after the world was created, is already bringing the shlomim. Therefore, yes, they know that can bring shlomim. My time of demand on the loy korvu. What about the opinion that says that b'nei noach cannot bring shlomim? Where do they get it from? So like this, yichtiv, because you have a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says like this. What? Uri sofrin, awaken north, uvoi yisemon, and come south. So what does that mean? We darshin it like this. Uri is meloshin hisnari, or tisna'er. It should be shaken away. Vaynar Hashem es Mitzrayim. Rashi brings the pasuk like Hashem shook up the Mitzrayim and then drowned them in the Yamsuf. Tisnar umo shemaaseh basofen. Let the nation, the Bnei Noach, the Goyim, whose korbanos are of the type that can be brought only in the north, meaning an Ola, which we know an Ola can only be shechted in the north side of the Agada, should be shaken away in favor of the Tovei Umah Shemaaseh Batsofen Amadorim, in favor of the nation, the Jewish people, that is able to bring korbanos both on the north and on the south side, where we can bring both Oilus and Shlomim. Which goes, again, with what I mentioned before from Rav Hirsch, the difference between the Goyim north attitude towards other courses and towards religion versus our north and south attitude. So the one has to make way for the other. That's the next explanation. So we're saying, Uri Tzofen, Uvoi Yisemon, it teaches us that there's two types of nations in the world. The one that has only Tzofen, and then there's the Jewish people who have Tzofen and Darn. Another possible explanation, by the way, of Tisnar...
Are you saying that even the Shmaelim, they don't have Tzofen and Darn?
They don't have Tzofen and Darn, because they're B'nai Noach, after all. They have, if a Yishma'eli is an Ar. They may be Ben Avram, very nice. But the fact is, they are like all the other 70 nations in that regard. If they want to be master of a korban and the Bet Mikdash, it can only be an Ola. In fact, you have a Gemara in Menachos that discusses this question. A Goy can be Menadev and Ola. We're talking about in the Bet Mikdash. We're also talking about outside the Bet Mikdash, but we're talking about either way. A Goy can be Menadev and Ola, that we know. Can he be Menadev a Shlomim? The Gemara in Menachos discusses, and this ends up being the Halacha, that no, if a Goy sends a korban shlomim to the Bet Mikdash, we don't offer it as a shlomim, we offer it as an ola. Even though he meant it to be a shlomim, Yishmael doesn't matter. So, okay. I should mention also this hisnar or hisnari can also have another meaning. It can also mean like arouse yourself. Like in other words, we're talking about it, in other words, the second explanation, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, is the positive song of kibbutz galus. The first explanation also can be talking about who's going to be coming and greeting Mashiach. So Rashi says the sabay means al malach Mashiach. So the hisnari can also mean a positive sense that the goyim will shake themselves awake and arouse themselves to also greet Mashiach. Or it can be in the negative sense that they will shaken up and cast aside if they don't accept the truth at that point. But whatever, we've already seen them, and then the Jewish people, the South Nation, are the ones who come to greet Mashiach.
Now they cannot understand that.
That's the point. Now, we have two ways of explaining. Is it going to be the negative sense by Nair Hashem at Mitzrayim, that Hashem shook up the Mitzrayim, and meaning, in other words, that they were talking about nations that are not going to be able to accept that truth of what Mashiach is bringing to the world, and therefore they have to be cast aside? Or do we mean the more positive sense that they get shaken up out of their complacency and out of their wrong ideas or whatever, and come to greet Mashiach also and accept it? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the point is that we're making a contrast between Sophon and Dorin, between the Goyim, who only have the Sophon concept and the Sophon type of Korban, versus we Jewish people who have Sophon and Dorin. Okay. So the question is, what about, again, we said that the Pasuk regarding Hevel, that he offered from his sheep and their fat, which implies, as we said, that he brought Shlomim, because Shlomim only the fat was brought on the back. The other opinion that says that Bnei Noach don't bring Shlomim, how is he going to understand that? The answer is he's going to say, Mechol Bayan doesn't mean of their fat. It means Mishamnehan did who? It means among his sheep, he picked the fatter ones to bring as a korban. But it wasn't Ola. What about Umar Nami of Siv Uri Sofren, the other opinion that says that Goyim can bring Shlomim? What does he do with the Uri Sofren? The answer is Ahuba Kibbutz Golias. That pasuk is not talking about the contrast between the northerners and the southerners. It's saying that when it comes time for Kibbutz Golias, both the north wind and the south wind will awaken and will come to gather together all the Jewish people who are in Golos and scattered in all those places and bring them back and waft them back to Eretz Yisrael. So nothing to do with a contrast between Jews and Goyim as far as what Korbanos we will bring, but as far as that even Jews scattered in the furthest north and the furthest south will be returned to Eretz Yisrael.
So that means the Jews who are themselves in the Golos as far as that?
Yes, that's what it means, yeah. Okay, so now the question is, what about, though, according to the opinion that Bnei Noach can't bring Shlomim, you have the pasuk after Makas Moshe, by Yom Moshe, that Moshe says to Paro, you want us to leave our animals behind in Mitzrayim? No. Gam after Titin B'Yadenu Zvachim V'Olus, you also will put into our hands Zvachim, which usually means Shlomim, and Olus, V'Asinu L'Hashem Alekenu, and we'll prepare them as Korbanos V'Hashem, implying that this is before Matan Torah, implying they're going to be bringing Shlomim. So according to the opinion, and they're Bnei Noach, this is before Matan Torah. The answer is, he would say, Zvachim la'achil of oil of Fakra. But he would answer, the word Zvachim doesn't necessarily mean carbonus. It means animals that are shechted for eating. It means Moshe is telling Paro, you're going to be giving us animals. Not only are you going to let us take all our animals when we leave Mitzrayim, but you're also going to give us animals for ourselves to eat, just as cholin, as well as oil, as well as carbonus to be used as oil for our shech. Okay. What about Zvachim just means that they're shechted. That they're shechted. What? No, so it means sheep. Shachat can mean the chef, but Zavach can also mean the chef. We've had a few times in almost after where we dash in the word Zavach, there's a shortage Zavach of means specifically. Yeah. Okay. What about Vaksiv, Vayikach Yisroel, Choysen Moshe, Ola with Zvachim? What about it says that Yisroel, the father-in-law of Moshe, brought Ola and Zvachim? And there you can't say that Zvachim means, there you can't say, I think Marashah says, you can't say that Zvachim means animal to eat, because the next word in the passage is Lele Kim. So if it said that he brought Lele Kim, Olus, and Zvachim, fine, it could mean he brought for Hashem Olus, as well as they also brought animals to eat. But when he says they brought Olus, Zvachim, Lele Kim, it makes it clear that the word Zvachim is also connected with Hashem. That the answer is Ahulacha Matan Torah. That's after Matan Torah. So fine, after Matan Torah, yes, he becomes a Ger, Vayichad Yisrael, so fine, he can bring Shlomim. The question then is, Hamnichal Amanda Omer Yid. Sure, Ger is like any other Yid. Yeah. Okay, that will sound good according to the opinion that Yisrael only came to visit after the Torah was given. So then fine, yeah, that's your opinion. El Amanda Amar Yisrael Kodim Matan Torah, but according to the opinion that Yisrael came before Matan Torah, which after all is how it's arranged in the Pesukim, you have the first that describes Yisro's visit, and then it starts describing Machodesh HaShlishi. So in terms of that, you would say that it means that Yisro came before. In terms of, now you have afterwards, when Gashi mentions on the Pasuk over there, the fact that later on, in the story over there with Yisro, when it says he sees Moshe sitting and judging the people when Abotra Abba Arev, and Rashi says necessarily that must have been after Moshe came down with the second Lachos on Yom Kippur. So therefore, that part of the story, at least has to be after Mount Torah, Rashi is saying on the system over there. Also, you have other indications, but whatever, you have two different opinions on that. So if you say he's before Mount Torah, he's a Ben Noach, they're all still Ben Noach. What Drachim, what Shlomim, according to that thing? The Ishmael, as in fact, we have a discussion about that. Bnei Rabchia, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the sons of Rabchia, Yehuda and Chizkiah were their names, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagreed about this. Had Amar Yisra Kodem Matan Torah, one of them says that Yisra's visit was before Matan Torah, B'chad Amar Yisra Acha Matan Torah, and the other one says it was Acha Matan Torah. Lamanda Amar Yisra Kodem Matan Torah, so if it was before Matan Torah, so what are you going to do? And the answer is, you're right. Okay, Lamanda Amar Yisra Kodem Matan Torah, fine. According to the opinion that Yisra came before Matan Torah, he will necessarily, no choice, he will have to say that Bnei Noach are able to build Shlomim. Otherwise, he has no way of explaining the problem. So if you say that Yisra came after Matan Torah, you could go either way. You could say that Bnei Noach could or couldn't bring Shlomim, but it's not relevant to the story of Yisra because he's after Matan Torah. But if you say that Yisra came before Matan Torah, of necessity, you have to say that Bnei Noach could bring Shlomim. We don't know. It's either you have Rabchia, you have Bnei Rabchia, and you have Rabbi Shlomim Levi. It doesn't specify which one says it. The Gemara says Kitanoi. This is actually the Machloikas Tanoim, when Yisra came, before or after Matan Torah. Namely, when the Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisra Koyin Midian, it starts out, it says, Yisra, the priest of Midian, heard. So what did he hear? Mashmua Shomol Bavin Isgayer. What exactly did he hear that impelled him to come and become a guest? Now, the Pasuk says, generically, he heard Eish Kosher Osash Elakim Lemoshol Yisrael Amoy, but it sounds like, in other words, there's details that the Pasuk is not specifying. This whole thing that it says, Eish Kol Asher Osa, Yisrael Moshe, Yisrael Ami, implies that there's more details that the Pasuk is not just Matan Torah, it's not just the Pasuk, there's something more. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Milchamas Amalek Shoma. Rabbi Yeshua says what he heard about is the war against Amalek. And we know that, because right before that, the end of Parashat Bashalah, it describes how the Jewish people fought against Amalek, and Yeshua weakened them by the sword. So that, in other words, they were dashing smoking. The next thing after that is by Yishma Yisra. So what did he hear? The last thing that's reported in the Torah before that, Amalek.
He didn't hear Yisra.
No, he heard Yisra Yisra, but in addition, because he heard Yisra Yisra, but also, on top of that, he also heard the detail that there was Milchamas Amalek. Hold on. Rabbi Loza Amudoy, Matan Torah Shomolvar. Rabbi Loza Amudoy says he heard about Matan Torah, so that would be according to the opinion that he came only after Matan Torah. And how did he hear about Matan Torah? Shnitna Torah Yisrael, because when the Torah was given to the Jewish people, the voice of Hashem was reverberating from one end of the world to the other. But all the Goyish kings are all trembling in their palaces. But Amr Shira, and they're all singing in praise of Hashem. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Hechalei Kulei Omer Kavod. As the Prophet of Chavos Hesed Tzilin is referring to the event of Matan Torah. In his palace, they all say glory of Hashem. So Hechalei doesn't mean in Hashem's palace, as we usually understand it. It means in every individual king's palace, they're all there. So what happens? Niskab to Kulam Eitz of Bilam Arasha. All these Goyish kings gathered together to consult the Bilam Arasha. But Omrulai, how does it come about that they're praising Hashem? It started out like this. They first come to Bilam, but Omrulai, and they ask him, Ma Kola Homan Asher Shemainu? What is this great noise that we're hearing? Shem Mabo Bola Olam? Is there a Mabo coming to the world? Hashem Lamabo Yosha. Omrulahem. Hashem Lamabo Yosha. So Bilam answers them, no. Hashem sat at the Mabul, meaning, in other words, that Amalehem, by Yeshua Hashem Melech La'olam, and now Hashem has sat as king forever, meaning, K'van Nishba Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sheini, maybe Mabul La'olam. Hashem has already promised he's never going to again bring the Mabul. Hashem La'olam Yosha, but the past tense thing, he sat enthroned as king of the Mabul, but there's never again going to be such a thing. Vayeshev Hashem Melech Olam. From now on, Hashem is king over the world without the world being destroyed.
According to the opinion that, as you said previously, yeah, okay, separated from the world.
There's nothing with Hashem. Okay. Omrullah, they said, I've been from my man, maybe. Maybe Hashem just promised that he's not going to bring a marble of water, have a marble from Ish, maybe. Maybe Hashem can still destroy the world with a marble of fire. Shenema, Tihinik, Kibra, Ish, Hashem, Mishvat, as the prophet says, Hashem judges the fire. Omrullah, Bilam tells him, don't worry, Kvar Mishva, Shein, Mashkas, Kobotim. Don't worry, Hashem already promised that he's not going to destroy all flesh. He's not going to destroy all of humanity, not with water, not with fire, not with anything else. Because it says, there will never again be a marble to destroy all flesh. So any kind of catastrophe. Okay, so they're asking him, so what is this great, tremendous noise that we're hearing? And by the way, the connection is, it's brought in the Zohar, it's brought in some other places, that the time when the marble came should have, by right, been the time, if the people were Zohar at that time, it would have been the time when the Torah was given. The Torah is compared to water. So like this, it should have been a time when the water of Torah is coming down to the world, because the people were because everybody was corrupt. Therefore, instead it was a marble of destructive rain. So now they're thinking it's the same thing all over again. And Gilam tells them, no, now it's Omalahem. Chemda Torah v'yeshla d'beis melzev. Hashem has a precious treasure in his treasury. It's been hidden away by Hashem 974 generations before the world was created. Because you have the positive Dovah Tziva La'elah Torah, that Hashem, so to speak, originally intended to give the Torah after 1,000 generations, but in the event he gave it after 26. So therefore, it existed 974 generations before, 1,000 minus 26. Or Bikish Lishna Lavana, that's 1,000 minus 974. Ben Yoyada points out, by the way, the 974 is the gematria of Sur Merava Afetori, representing you Goyim have lost the opportunity because you, when Hashem shopped around the Torah to each one of you, you all said you don't want it for like Sirtach, like Sinaf, and whatever. So therefore, you didn't want the Sur Meirah. You don't get the Vasei Torah either. That's the 974. Okay. Ubikash listen to Levanov, and Hashem wants to give it to his children, the Jewish people. Shenemar, as the prophet says, in that capital, Hashem oiz la'am, are you saying? Hashem is giving strength. The Torah is our strength. Hashem is giving strength to his people. This is long before Balak. Miyam tossed to Kulam Ba'amru. So right away, all the Goyim, all these Goyish kings, replied and said, with the continuation of the pasuk, Hashem Yevorech Hasamei Bashalom. Hashem will bless the people with peace. That's what we're saying. That's when we say that they said Shira. That's what we meant. So, there's an interesting explanation. Mashah brings part of it. Ben Yoyada brings part of it. You have a Gemara in Data that says Yisrael Adim Shabbos. The Jewish people are the toughest, the most stubborn, the most chutzpahdik of all peoples, and we need the Torah in order to make us civilized human beings, otherwise nobody would be able to stand there. So therefore, the Goyim are saying, good, it's a good thing Hashem is giving the Torah to the Jewish people. That way there'll be peace. Hashem is blessing his people with peace, and that way they won't be harassing us. Anyway, the point is, the reason why we brought this whole story, because of this tremendous noise that accompanied Matan Torah, therefore Yisrael heard about Matan Torah, and that's what impelled them to come. So according to that opinion, he came after Matan Torah. I don't know what noise it was they heard. Maybe they heard the actual words. Maybe they just heard the noise. I don't know. Anyway, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with the next opinion about what Yisrael heard, and then we'll also talk about Be'ez Hashem. You asked me what's the relevance of knowing what Yisrael heard, so we'll talk more about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. There's a sikha about it. There's other things about it.